Coach Mercer, thank you for hosting Talking Hoosier Baseball and sitting down with me for this discussion today. Yes. We've heard from you a lot in the past, but most of those conversations have been in the limited context of looking back at a single game. This conversation today is going to have a broader scope about the program, its recent struggles, and roster construction in the ever-changing landscape of college sports. So to start off with, looking back at 2026, had struggles with the season. Preseason, we had a chance to interview a lot of the players, kind of had that feeling that there was a cultural improvement with the team, which had a lot of positivity, but just didn't see those results in the field. Can you talk a little bit about it, and just retrospect to the season as a whole?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a great group of kids. It was a great coaching staff, a great continuity. I thought the kids worked really hard. They were invested. They cared. They cared for Indiana and cared for each other. Anytime that you have those kind of struggles, you feel as a coach, you feel a great sense of regret, and you feel like you didn't do a good enough job to be able to help the team to be as successful as they'd like to be. And ultimately, that's my job. That's my responsibility, and I didn't do that. And so you feel poorly for that. Early on, I felt like offensively we were a little bit light as to what we normally are, and then the offense got a lot better over the course of the year. And on the mound, we actually pitched it pretty well the first half of the year, and we just didn't have enough depth on the mound to really finish the season. Our offense gave us opportunities to win late, and we weren't able to do that. We really challenged ourselves with our schedule, and I was proud of the way that we competed, and I was confident that it would help us later in the season when we got into Big Ten play to win some of those close games and to navigate and hopefully go and make a nice run later in the season. And we weren't able to do that. We lost a lot of leads late. But I thought the kids, they bounced back day in and day out and gave ourselves a chance to win all the way up until the very last weekend and obviously finished with the last series win the last weekend. But yeah, I think you have to, as a coach, you have to look in the mirror and say, the things that maybe you didn't do well enough to help that team. But when you look at the group, I thought it was a good group. They worked hard, and we just weren't able to execute it. So we have to get better and make the necessary adjustments and move forward with the next group. But it was a good group of kids.
So late in the June part of the cycle, after a disappointing spring, your program lost three key position player contributors. Can you walk us through how you and your staff responded to the sudden challenge of losing so much production?
Yeah, I think every portal cycle brings its own challenges. Losing an everyday player or two or a couple of those guys is not something that we've experienced much of. We've had a lot of continuity. Most of our players have stayed year over year. Devin Taylor and Luke Sennard and Connor Foley, it was kind of the Ryan Kraft, kind of the standard they set. And so that was a little bit different for us. We are very fortunate that this year we received a scholarship increase going into this coming year. And so we were able to go out and recruit some players that we typically haven't had the ability to go out and recruit before. Some other really high level power four recruits that are out of state undergrad kids that are typically a lot more expensive to go and recruit. So to go out and to be able to immediately impact our offensive group, I thought was huge. With Nate Eisfelder and Kelvin Paulino and Ryan Maggie, bringing those guys in from really successful programs. And truth be told, we haven't had a ton of issues scoring runs outside of here or there, a little bit early last year. So I'm not as concerned about the offense. I feel good about where we are from an offensive standpoint. I'm really proud of and pleased with so many of the guys that did return from last year's team. You look at, there for a majority of the season, we were playing nine freshman and sophomore position players. And you look at Hogan Denny and Will Moore and Cole Decker and Cal Gates and Landon Fry. And then on the pitching staff, we returned the entire pitching staff. Mostalski and English and Yarberry, Braden Thomas. And then we were able to navigate our transfers coming in too. So, while there was a frustrating time there during the portal cycle for us, undoubtedly after a frustrating season, we were able to navigate at the end. I felt like we landed in a really good position, and it's going to be a really talented group going into the fall.
You mentioned a couple of very specific names of the incoming transfers. Is there any one or two of those guys you'd like to give a specific highlight to the fans as to what they should be looking for?
Yeah, I would say Nate Eisfelder from Tennessee. You know, he's a top 100 player in the country 2 years ago. Led the Appy League in home runs this year, even though he missed a couple of weeks. A big physical outfielder, right-handed hitter, I think has an ability to be a tremendous player, a really, really high-level prospect. Started a couple of games for Tennessee in the SEC tournament. Had some big hits for him. Very talented. Kelvin Paulino, a kid from Florida State, started roughly 30 games, hit 275 or 280 for them as a DH/infielder. A top 50 player in the country in his high school class. You know, those two guys could have gone to about any program in the country, or some, I should say, some very, very high-level programs, really highly recruited guys. The young man, Maggie, from West Virginia, really talented kid, hits the ball high and hard, great rotator, great mover, a lot of bat speed. Was a redshirt freshman this last year at West Virginia, but from Florida originally, just a really talented kid. So those were the three. To your point, to your question, I'm sorry, the three position player transfers that came in, that in our system should come in and flourish. So I'm excited about those guys.
Well, the past season was not the first time you faced adversity. I want to take you back in particular to the 2021 post-COVID All Big Ten season. After a great March and April, you know, your position player group really struggled down the stretch as competition got better. You instituted a lot of changes in that offseason, and ever since, all of your teams have been quite good at scoring runs. That offense led you to regional play in 23 and 24. Where your teams have struggled in recent years is having enough quality pitching for 4 to 5 games in a week. You've always had a couple of top all-conference arms, but it only takes one bad inning to ruin a game.
Yeah.
How can you apply the lessons from the success you had in establishing that hitting culture that has always produced runs since then to, you know, developing a pitching staff that can be as, you know, as reliable?
That's an awesome question. It's a multi-layered response. So when we finished that season, we were in the same position that I felt like we were in 2 years ago on the mound. We were losing more players to the draft, and I want to get players drafted, but we were losing them faster than we could develop the next group of guys. And so from an offensive standpoint that year, we were really exposed. We had lost a lot of guys to the draft a couple years before. We didn't play that previous season, and so now we were exposed offensively. And so when I hired Coach Rutherford, he was just getting out of Pro Bowl and had coached for 1 year, one of my all-time favorite players. I sat down with him and I said, I'm going to invest a lot of money into offensive player development. We had a great pitching staff that year, maybe one of the best in the country, but we really struggled offensively. I said, there's got to be a faster way for us to coach offensive players, but we got to spend the offseason figuring this thing out. And so we studied and studied and studied. The first thing we did was, we conditioned ourselves we had to simplify the system. We had to make it more challenging and more simple. But to do that, we had to spend a lot of money in the machines and the resources to have the equipment to be able to do that, and then measure and remeasure and remeasure, or test and retest. So we did. We probably spent roughly $100,000 on machines, different bats, different balls, and different equipment. And we built out a system that was a simpler drill system that was more challenging. And we implemented it, and we evaluated it, and it's worked for us really, really well. Probably 2 years ago, I sat down with Denton Sagerman when Denton was with us, and I said, Denton, we're never going to have a standalone pitching facility, but we have got to do a better job of developing the depth of a pitching staff. We're landing really well with the top 25 to 33% of our staff. We're producing guys that are top round draft picks that are going to professional baseball and they're playing the big leagues. They're doing great. But when that group gets drafted, the next group is not necessarily ready, or the depth of it's not ready. We need 10 to 12 guys. So how can we apply the previous lessons that we did in offense into the pitching staff? And so I asked him to bring back something that we could buy that would give us a pitching facility that we could kind of set up and tear down. And so he brought back the Newt Forest mound with the adjoining 5 cameras and the interface system that we could measure. Essentially what it is there's points of force in a delivery. And the naked eye, I tell a guy, I would say is, I think this drill works for you. I think this drill works for you, but I can't measure. I don't know it. Well, if you lose 4, 5, 6 guys to the draft, which is great, well, now you need not just the 4, 5, 6 guys that you have to replace, but also 5 or 7 more. So you need 10 to 12 guys. It's that next group that you don't have time to be wrong, but you have to measure it. And so we fundraised like crazy, and our alumni stepped up. And we spent several $100,000 to get all the equipment that we need to be able to do this. Last year was the first year that we got it. And so I'm incredibly appreciative of our alumni for stepping forward in either themselves doing it or with different connections and contacts and resources to spend that kind of money into our development to apply the same philosophy to their offense. Last year was the first time that we did it. Baseball America wrote an article on Jackson Bergman, his development. I know he got hurt this past year, and it was hard for him more than us, but both of us. But they wrote an article about his development, his growth. It was just a rapid, out of nowhere growth. And they asked him what he attributed to. And the number one thing that he said was to the new force mount. If you ask Tony Newbeck, what would you attribute your success to? There's multiple things that he would attribute to. Strength and conditioning, diet, nutrition, but the number one thing, big thing, was the new force mount. So what our goal was in that way is to create a system that says, when I evaluate these 3 or 4 main things and I'm applying the drill set to make an adjustment, I know I'm doing the right thing. So the offensive standpoint was there's 3 phases, the path, the swing decisions, and competition. So once you set the path, then I can set swing decisions. Once I have swing decisions, then I can go to competition, which is why you'll see our offenses get better over the course of the year. On the mound, it's your delivery. That's how you produce force. So your delivery creates your arm path. Your arm path then creates the pitch package. Your pitch package then goes into competition. We have to spend less time on creating the arm path in the delivery so that we can get into competition faster. And so I think that's where the investment financially is going to pay huge dividends into our depth of our development. Because we haven't had, to your point, we haven't had a problem up front. So that's the first thing. And so this will be the first year to keep our pitching staff, an older pitching staff that we got through the draft back. And then you have your coaching staff, both Coach Myers and Coach Mullen, that will have the entire year with it. Coach Myers used the new force mount with the Pirates. And then Coach Mullen used it this past year. Was a major reason I liked him in the hiring process. Was he spent all year last year at Omaha using the new force mount, so the application of that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we have to be able to navigate the draft better. I want our players to be drafted. I'm very proud of how many players we've had drafted. Last year, I think we had the 8th most major league players in the country of college programs with like 12. And 8 or 9 of them were pitchers. So I'm proud of those guys getting drafted. What we'd like to be able to do is create a situation where if a player would like to be able to come back, he financially can make it feasible to come back, right? And if you look at it, an undergrad in-state tuition for Indiana is roughly $13,000. Undergrad out-of-state tuition is roughly $43,000. And a grad certificate tuition, regardless, is about 8 to 12 in-state or out-of-state. So if you have a player that's coming to college, and he's trying to decide between the draft or coming to college, the cost is a big deal. And how much signing bonus in comparison to his, how much you're gonna have to pay. Or if you have an upperclassman who is an out-of-state kid and he's being offered $150,000 or $250,000, well, if he has to pay $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, that goes on top of the money he's turning down. And so, we have a great administration and a tremendous university that does support baseball and cares for baseball. I have a great sport administrator and a wonderful athletic director. So we were able to receive a scholarship increase for this coming year. And that allowed us to navigate the draft much better. So we probably had 7 or 8 players that were offered 6 figures on the mound that decided to come back to school because they weren't ready to go and sign professionally. They felt like they weren't ready for their professional career. And obviously we had the 3 guys that did sign, the high school player, Gavin Swartz. He got into 7 figures. If you get a high school guy gets into 7 figures, that's a great job. And then you know, Bergman and Newbeck both coming off injuries. They were older guys. They had done their job. They're great kids. They should go sign. So navigating the draft better gives you more depth to start from. And then having a better development system with the investment in technology then should then create that much more there afterwards. So we were very fortunate and very thankful for the administration to do that, to allow us to bring guys back that wanted another year of college baseball before they go in professional baseball. So those two things coupled together, I'm very confident will give us the depth on the mound that we need to navigate a 4- and a 5-game week that you're right, we haven't. And if an injury happens, which it does happen, injuries happen in college baseball, they're not as catastrophic if you have more depth. And you have to develop depth. We have to do a better job of doing that. But also having those guys return, it gives you a higher starting point to work from. And you know, when invariably somebody does get hurt, it doesn't impact your season as negatively.
You talked about, you know, retaining guys that were sought after in the draft. Specifically, D1Baseball.com has a draft tracker for each college program that listed all players that they deemed legit draft prospects that were eligible for this most recent draft. You have 9 players. 2 of them are freshmen, 4 are returning from your program last year, and 3 are incoming transfers. That 9 is more than any other team in the Big Ten, so I think it's important you don't undersell that,
right.
That are coming to campus this fall. So, you know, besides obviously the financial impact, you know, what is it that's letting you keep those guys and have them come to campus?
Well, I think there's several points. I think we have a great staff. You know, Coach Rutherford, this was kind of the first group that he really got a chance to recruit start to finish. And I asked him to go recruit nationally. And so if you go look at some of the players that are coming in from, you know, Jaden Parker from San Diego and Johnson DeBose, is an IMG this past year. Those guys are infielders that are coming in that you know, haven't come to the program before. Caden Armitage is going to reclass and come in early from the British Columbia area. So you have some different guys coming in that way. I think Coach Myers did a great job endearing himself to the pitching staff. I think they really trusted him to look at, you know, Braden Thomas and Jackson Yarberry, but then also the transfers, Luke Teske and Peter Doobie and Gomberg, several of these guys coming in that had professional opportunities. I think there was great trust in those guys and the staff, and I'm very confident in their ability to work with those guys. You know, ultimately, this is a great place. It's a great university. It's the greatest time for the university with the football success, and I think basketball is going to be really good this year, but there's a lot of great sports. There's great education, so there's a lot of great things and value to it. But if you look at our track record of success with players when they get to professional baseball and having great success, I think we talked about it earlier, but the success of those players is what's allowed our guys to feel confident in coming back and say, if I come back to college for one more year, or if I'm a high school player and I come to college, if I'm a great player, yes, I can help Indiana win games today, but I can also then make a run going and playing in Major League Baseball like a lot of these guys have done from Indiana, and I want to be a part of that thing. So that's what gives me great confidence. You know, I know that there were times that we were frustrated last year, none more so than me, and I take full accountability for it. The decisions that I made led to a lot of those positions, and there were times this summer where they were frustrating, but I also kept in mind and tried to remind myself of the times that were frustrating is we played a bunch of young guys. We have a great high school class coming in, and we were able to go out and execute in the portal at a level that we haven't before. And so you bring those things together, to your point, is you're bringing back a really talented team to campus this fall that wants to be here, and that's aligned, and that has a mission to go back and to make sure that this program is going to meet the standard that we expect it to be a winning program that competes in the postseason. And they're going to be a core element of that. So that's what gets me excited. That's what fires me up about it.
Over the past 9 months, 3 coaches on your staff have moved on to jobs in Major League-affiliated professional baseball.
Yeah.
You also mentioned the 3 of your 2026 players that signed professional contracts. What is it about your program that continues to draw so much interest from Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, you know, the thanks for, you know, Coach Klant and Coach Segerman, and then for Morgan as both a player and a coach here, they did an unbelievable job. In any time you have a guy that has a chance to go to Major League Baseball or Triple A or the front office like with them, there are point times where you're just happy for your friend. And so there's that part of it. I'm always be thankful to them for what they did for the program. I think there's a core element of it. It's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. Since 2018, from our staffs, we've had 7 coaches that are either in AAA, the front office, or Major League Baseball. We have 5 coaches that are at the Major League level coaches. And why does that happen? Why do we have so many guys? I think it comes back to from a draft standpoint. If you're looking at a Major League Baseball player, you're looking at a player that's the best that he can possibly be. We've always prided ourselves on taking the time to go back and to teach someone the most basic element of the game. From an offensive standpoint is obviously the swing, and then from a pitching standpoint is the how I move initially. So the both the swing and the delivery are kind of rotation to rotation movements. And so I talked about it earlier is there's a time that you have to create a path. There's a time you have to create an arm swing. And I think a lot of times we fast forward through it and we assume that it's already learned. What we do is a little bit different. From a diet and nutrition standpoint, from a strength standpoint, from a mobility standpoint, and from a path standpoint. Path in our bat path, but also in the arm path is how we create that. And so when our players, when we add on bunt Ds and pop fly priorities, and we add on these team concepts, we're adding it on to such a firm foundation of how to play the core element of the game. If I can't hit, and if I can't pitch, if I can't throw strikes on home plate with quality stuff that creates miss and weak contact, I cannot play the game at a high level. But when our players leave, that foundation is so firm that they can really accelerate through minor league baseball. They know how to eat, they know how to lift, they know how to take care of their bodies, they know how to stay healthy. I tell our players all the time, the best ability is availability. If you're not available, if I'm not available to learn, and if I'm not physically available, I can't grow. If I'm out for six weeks with an oblique, if I have a hamstring, if I've got flexor tendon, all these issues, these are lifestyle issues, I get left behind. So when our players go and they accelerate really quickly because they know how to create the correct path on the arm path, swing path and arm path, how to take care of their bodies. And now as they learn the game, that core element of pitching and hitting is able to go anywhere and play at any level, I think professional baseball looks at that and says, well, we can take it from here. Our players we try to create versatile players from a position player standpoint where they can go play multiple positions. I think that also puts them in a position to accelerate as they play. I can do different things. And then they've been in a very difficult, demanding training environment. We're not here to hold hands all the time. We're here to push. There's expectations, there's standards. Not afraid to play young guys, not afraid to put guys in difficult situations, not afraid to play challenging schedules and travel and go kind of jump in the deep end and have to fight your way through it. I think that transitions really well to Pro Bowl. And I think as the scouts come in and, you know, they have a job to do. Their job is to draft players that can go play Major League Baseball. And so all of those elements transition really well. And then from our coach's standpoint, they're expected to be able to teach that core element of the game. If you can't teach how to move the bat correctly, if you can't teach how to move down the mound correctly, if you can't create that core element for a player that he can take to the next level, win games for us today, right? But then go to the next level and succeed, then it's not going to be a good fit. So you have to be an expert in your craft to be able to do that and make that transition work. I think those are the main elements of what attracts guys. And then you try to, it always comes back to quality people. I think if you spend the time in the recruiting process to get to know young people and their families, and I think if you spend the time when you're interviewing candidates to find really smart people that are motivated, and the key element of coaching is every player has the right to be coached to the best of his ability. You have a responsibility to the player to help him to be the best that he can be. Doesn't always mean that it's the easiest route or that's the fastest route, or that doesn't mean it's going to be not going to be a difficult conversation. But as a coach, you have that responsibility. I think we've had a lot of coaches that are wanting to learn and to communicate and to that teach players the correct way to play.
So you have spoke a little bit about the coaches that have come in,
yeah.
But specifically, you know, you brought in Matt Myers, you know, who you used to work for,
yeah.
Who was a pitching coach in the Pirates organization.
Yeah.
Matt Morrow from a hitting staff position in the SEC, and you already mentioned former UCLA standout pitcher Sean Mullen. So talk about what these leaders, as they're coming in, are bringing into your program.
Matt Myers has been a close family friend for over 10 years now, probably a total of 14 years. So when I was the volunteer at Michigan, my second year in coaching, and I went down to Western Kentucky when Matt took over as the head coach at WKU. And, you know, there was a lot I wanted to learn, and I was still young and wasn't married yet. He took me in. He took great care of me. His wife, Shelly, took great care of my then-girlfriend, my now-wife, Steph. So they were great. He's at his core, is a tremendous person, and that matters the most. But he has a great energy. And I always loved his energy. I always loved his enthusiasm. He's just, every day's a great day. I love that. Every problem's going to get solved. I think that's a real talent. I think people have to, you have to hone that craft to be that level of energy and positivity. I loved his old school nature. You know, he's a pitch at Tennessee, was a pitching coach at Auburn, had been a head coach a couple times, had great pitching staffs. I mean, statistically speaking, has had 4 or 5 top 20 or 30 ERA teams. So I loved his ability to manage the game. A great pitch caller, can see things differently just from doing it for 30 or 40 years. He called me a couple years ago and asked about going into Pro Bowl, and we've been close friends, at, you know, for a long time. And I said, I think it would be really good. I think you would do really well. You bring that energy every day for 140 some odd games. I think the kids are going to love it. But I think you're also going to see that part of the world too. And he went and his, you know, his ability to really bring together the old school, which is important. It is critically important. Pitch calling and holding the run game and all the nuance of that. But also now the new force mound and the data and the pitch grips and some of those things. And we can try to shield the players from that stuff. But if you do, they're going to go get it somewhere else. So you just need to have an understanding of it in staff and how to apply it in real time. So that's what I loved about it was, you know, Matt, he was the minor league pitching coach of the year for the Pirates last year. They threw 2 perfect games within 10 days of each other, right? I'm on the phone with him and we're celebrating. It was awesome. He's so fired up. You know, so knowing him personally and the person that he is, knowing the way he communicates, I was really confident in. And he had done it before in the past. He had come in the middle of the year, and coming in is hard to do in the middle of the year, if anybody. But I felt like he kept us in line with the new force mound introduction and application. It kept us in line with a feel for what professional baseball values. But I thought it did bring in a more extended wealth of knowledge of college pitching coach. Coach Clint was tremendous and had success as a college pitching coach. Matt's just done it for 20 more years. And so I just watched him work successfully. And if you look at how the transfer portal worked out for us, you know, we kept our entire pitching staff. Those guys were all in, and they were all in for him. And so that was a great hire. He'll do a great job for us this year. Matt Morrow was a player for us at Wright State. He was actually the second baseman when Zach Weatherford was a center fielder. They were roommates in college and each of his weddings. Matt was maybe the most competitive player I ever coached. And Matt, I'm sure, would tell you this, Matt and I butted heads like significantly at times. Matt wanted to win everything. He wanted to win catch play, and he would fight you over it. He wanted to win the game. He wanted to win the bat. He just wanted to win in everything. And he wasn't a huge, you know, he's not a big man. But he was really the heart and soul of a lot of those great teams. We were tough and competitive and mean, and he was a real driver in that. I'll take it to my grave that he was a significant. Statistically, he was a good player. Played pro ball, played with the Pirates. Statistically, he was a good player, but emotionally and culturally, he was an elite player, and carried us in a lot of ways. and has had a lot of success in coaching. You know, as we move into this next transition for us, our philosophy is going to change as the landscape changes. You know, we've been predominantly a high school program, which we're going to still be very active in high school recruiting. But as we get a scholarship increase, it opens up and broadens our horizons to be able to go out into, at different areas. We haven't really been able to recruit junior college because of the financial piece. There is an academic piece, but also the financial piece of, you know, when it's $60,000 and you're going to go to the Panhandle of Florida to recruit a junior college player, that's a big pull, a big pull financially. And so I thought with the increase, we would have more of an of ability to go recruit potential junior college players and portal players. Truth be told, Matt coached junior college baseball, was at Wabash. And so I was looking for somebody with an infield background that I knew that had a junior college experience and portal experience. Matt was an infielder, obviously, was a very good one. But they went to the World Series, maybe national runner-up when he was at Wabash. So he has connections in the portal. I'm sorry, in junior college and connections that we need. And then he was at Kentucky last year. They obviously have had success recruiting the portal and learning some of the things that they've done as they've been able to use their resources into the portal. And so bringing him from there. But also I had coached the infielders this past year, and my job changes. You know, I've got to do more fundraising, and I have to be off campus more and do those things. So I needed someone that I could try to be more involved in other areas of the program and hand over the infielders to him and to be able to trust someone to do this. So that was a big part for Matt. I loved his attitude. The kids are going to love him. He'll get along really well with them. I love his competitive nature. I think that's something that we need. In the player development world, we get so player development centric. I have to remind myself sometimes that to add in that competitiveness, right? Because you're so focused on, well, if you change this one thing, you change that thing, that will impact the ceiling. Well, it'll also impact the ceiling is it's just getting out there and doing the dang thing and being tough. Matt will bring that to us, but also his connections and resources in junior college and the portal, I think, will really help us. And then Sean Mullen, you know, I really wanted to get outside of the box a little bit in that position, bring somebody in that had a different philosophy maybe. You know, the league is a different league. It's a coast-to-coast league. And if you look at the last couple of years, the West Coast teams have dominated our league. Sean was a great player at UCLA. John Savage is a Hall of Famer many times over and one of the best pitching minds in the country. You don't spend 3 or 4 years at UCLA and not learn a lot. And so, you know, having him with the experience on the West Coast, I thought was really important. I loved his personality, tough, very confident, young, and has some edge to him. But really what kind of put me over the top was his experience at Omaha. The program he was at last year has a tremendous, their university has a tremendous biomechanics lab. It's one of the strengths of their university. And so he was the conduit between the baseball program and the biomechanics lab and worked, really was the director of their new force application. So he coached catchers and was working with the pitchers in the biomechanics and the new force mound. It was exactly what we're looking for. Someone from outside of here, more West Coast dominant, philosophy-wise, and had a background in movement and prep to really, again, to accentuate our development depth on the mound. And then we needed someone who didn't coach the catchers, and so we needed someone to coach the catchers. So he met all those different things. So a long-winded way of saying I'm excited about those guys, and they bring a lot of different, I think, talents to the table.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking so much time to walk through all this. I think if we kind of work, take everything that you've talked about today and take what, you know, a lot of the fans are talking about on social media, you know, the big overarching question, if you can kind of bring it all together, is, you know, will this 2027 Indiana baseball team be better than 2026 and why?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for doing this as well. We put a lot of time into it. Yeah, I feel really good about this team coming back. You know, we went through and played a tough schedule, and a lot of those guys grew up. And so you have to go through some of those things. So I think you bring a mentality back that matters. The attitude matters. The culture of a group matters. we will have more competition on the position player side than we've had in my time at Indiana. We look at the infield group that's coming back, obviously with Will and with Landon and a couple of guys. But then the guys that are coming in, we've not had the depth of those guys with, you know, Bryce Pauley and Aiden Browns on top of Jaden Parker and Johnson DeBose and Ken Armitage, but also with Kelvin Paulino coming in too, and Maggie over there at first base or third. So we'll have more depth there. The outfield will have a lot more depth. We'll just have depth across the board positionally, and I think that matters from a talent standpoint, but also from a competitive standpoint on a day-to-day basis, and matchups really matter. You look at on the mound, you return at least two, probably three or four potential starters on the mound. We really tried this summer to go recruit guys that had been starters, but that could go to the bullpen and consolidate down, and so their stuff would play up. But if you look at it, the guys on the mound that we went and recruited, they had good numbers, right? They had low walks, high strikeouts. They had good numbers, productive. But you're also able now to go mirror the TrackMan to that. We can pull the TrackMan. And so with a scholarship increase, it gives you the ability to not have to just recruit maybe grad transfers. You can go get an out-of-state undergrad kid. And so, yeah, you look at with Braden Thomas and Jackson Yarberry, Mastalsi coming back could be easily be weekend starters for you. But now you start to build a bullpen out. You know, Teschke could be a starter, could be a back-end guy. Calen Inglis was tremendous this summer. Was an all-star and really took a huge step forward. You look at Kay Pilgrim and his was a South Carolina signee, had a really good year at junior college, had a good summer this past summer. Ethan Leich's been a starter, was the Friday guy at Murray State when they went to the World Series, was injured and recovers. So those guys go into the bullpen, and I'm sure I'm missing, you know, several guys as well. But you look at it and you say, okay, well, you've got a real bullpen opportunity here to build out. You've got Lucas Andrella and Nolan Sullivan, who have been weekend starters that could potentially be starters for you on a Sunday or a Tuesday, or they could really give you a great depth in the middle of your pen. And so you've got a pen, and then you've got guys that you feel like can start. So between your position group that you feel like is really talented, has depth and great competition, and then your staff that has starters. And what it also gives us is some more room for air on an injury, or if you have a game get sideways from you, where last year, you know, truth be told is we didn't have the depth once Bergman got hurt, and it really put guys out of position. So now if some of those guys that were in the pen need to slide up and be a starter, well, all those guys, almost all of them have been starters, and they can slide up and go do that. So we feel a lot deeper on the mound. We feel a lot deeper on the position player side and some more flex in both of those. Some multi-position players in matchups, but also some flex on the mound where those guys can come out and kind of work back and forth. So I feel very, very confident. This will be a talented team. It'll be a team that I think will have a great hunger and desire to get back to what the expectations are to winning. And I'm really excited to get out there and coach them and thankful for, you know, all the people that supported us through a difficult year. And are still there behind the scenes, you know, the messages and the support and the alumni that have donated money to help us really get a lot of these behind the scenes player development make even a possibility. So just very excited and very appreciative.
Well, thank you so much, Coach. Very looking forward in fall play to see some of these guys out on the field. So
yeah, and we'll have a great fall schedule. We have four. Games against outside competition this fall. We'll get the schedule over to you, but I'm excited for people to see it. I think when people see the team this fall, they'll be really excited for the spring, because I know that I am.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks so much.